Welcome to Heartland Darkland. I'm Cassie.
And I'm Shannon.
Welcome, Darkhearts.
Hey, Darkhearts.
I've loved being able to use that and like putting it in our posts.
I know. It's good stuff. We need to get a logo with that on there with something so we can just, officially post it.
I know. We need to talk to your friend and see if he can make us something and then pay him.
Yeah, I know. That. I was actually going to reach out yesterday and be like, I'm going to need you to do that. My friend who created our logo, I just shout out to him. Anyone that listens, Andrew Randolph is a legend and he's amazing. So he gets credit for that. But yes. Yeah, I mean, we're just going to kind of jump into things today, right? Pretty quick.
Yeah. Let's, do you want to remind them about our giveaway?
Yeah. So our giveaway is still going on. It's going to go through the end of June. So you still have a few weeks. So basically, if you can rate and review us, send us an email, a message on any of our social platforms. Let us know you did that. We'll get you entered. And then at the end of the month, we're going to do a little drawing for our free tote bag with our logo on it. Speaking of the logo. So,
yes. Yeah. And also, you guys, we're sorry, this episode's coming out later on Wednesday than normal. We usually have it preset, so it posts right at midnight. But listen, it was Memorial Week. Our kids were out of school. Schedules are hard to refinagle. So we're getting used to our summer schedules now. So, we're always going to try to post on Wednesdays, and usually it'll be that midnight time, but every now and then it might be later in the day. And I mean, I posted to our socials about it and stuff. But listen, we're human. And as much as we would love for this to be our full-time gig, it is not.
I wish. Yeah.
Oh, it would be amazing. I would love that so much.
I agree.
Goals and dreams.
Yeah, seriously.
But yeah, so thank you for bearing with us. I had to tell my mom because I know that's what she does on her way to work on Wednesday mornings is she listens to
our podcast. So does my mom. That's cute.
So I knew she wouldn't see it on the social. So I was like, hey, mom, just a heads up for you. Podcast is going to be out later on Wednesday. And she's like, oh, well, now what am I going to listen to? I was like, your audiobook.
Yeah. Find something else.
I know. I was like, you can listen. I was like, it should be out by the time you're driving home. You'll be fine. Worst case scenario, you listen to it Thursday morning. But
yeah. It's going to be fine.
Yeah. So with that, I've got topic this week. And we're heading to St. Louis, Missouri.
Missouri.
And this is something actually, I had a client last week I was talking to, and I told her I was doing Missouri, and I didn't tell her about this. Well, I told her kind of what I was doing to see if she had known anything about it. And she hadn't really known about it, but maybe once I talk about it, she'll know a little bit more. So like I said, we're going to St. Louis, Missouri. We will be
Ozark. Sorry. Go ahead. Anyone who watches Ozarks, which is funny because they actually don't even film it in Missouri, but I just think
so
of
you
a
know
bunch
what's
of
funny? I haven't watched it yet.
Oh, it's so good.
I know. Well, it was
you would actually really love it.
I know. It was one of those things, like, when it came out, I was going to wait. I was going to watch it, and then I got behind. And then, like, it was before I got on my meds for my depression and anxiety. So then I hit this, like, bad streak of, like, not watching. Like, I was in a really bad depressive state where I couldn't bring myself to, like, do any of the things I liked doing. And then I got super behind on shows. And then I'm at the point now where I'm like, well, now that it's finally finished, I'll binge it. But then my anxiety is like, oh my God, there's so many episodes. That's too much to watch. So
and it's a pretty intense show. So you'll definitely look at Missouri in a whole different view, which is funny because once again, that's a fictional show. But, it makes you wonder a little bit about those Missourians out there, guys.
So yeah. So we're going to be looking at the Lemp family and their mansion, which has actually seen a lot of death, making it a hotspot for haunting activity. Ooh. Dun, dun, dun.
Get out your ghost radar thing.
Heck yeah. It is a historical house in Benton Park and is now an inn and restaurant. Except before we kind of get into this mansion, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the Lemp family, because this is kind of what leads, I think, to this haunting, because there was a lot of tragedy within this family. I will say finding any, concrete information was a little difficult. I found some, conflicting information. It seems like there's a lot of rumors surrounding this family and their personal lives that some people just take as fact. Also, when the very last child of the first patriarch of the Lemp family died, like, he had his butler burn a whole bunch of family documents and, like, artwork and stuff.
Sketchy.
Yeah. So I'm also gonna give a trigger warning now. This episode is gonna have a lot of mention of suicide.
Okay.
So for anyone, like, I'm not gonna go into any sort of graphic details or anything like that, but it's gonna be brought up multiple times. So sure. I want to give that heads up now, just for everyone's sake. And to find the information, I did use Wikipedia for some of the basic information.
Mm-hmm.
I found a Facebook post by this guy named Troy Taylor, who wrote a book about some of the history, which is called Suicide and Spirits, which I'm not a big fan of the name of that. But I read the reviews for it, and, like, they weren't the best, so I didn't read the book itself. But, like, the information I was looking at on one of the people in the family, like, it gave me some of that, so I just called that. And, like, a lot of people just stated that the book was small and a lot of the info was stuff that you could get from the tour of the mansion. So I also looked at a website called legendsofamerica.com. And then finally, the last thing I did is I watched an episode of Ghost Hunters, which I love. And I used to watch that show all the time.
And you can find that is a fun one.
Oh, it's so great. I love them so much. So that's on Discovery Plus. It was season 6, episode 16, and it's just called The Lemp Mansion. So to start off, we're going to talk about the family patriarch, who was Johann Adam Lemp. He was born in Germany in 1798 and moved to the U.S. in 1836. He settled in St. Louis in 1838 and became a naturalized citizen in 1841. So now, in some of the Google searches, like when I was trying to look up some of the family tree for, like, Johann's son's family, like, kids, all of his kids' names, some stuff said, like, he was married, like, 3 times, that he abandoned a wife in Germany and stuff, and I'm not 100%, like, I couldn't find enough information on that to say one way or another, but it does kind of sound like that may have been the case, which I'll come back to, but, he originally started out as a grocer, where he sold his own vinegar, which I guess was like a family recipe, and beer.
Interesting. Okay.
Yep. By 1840, he focused solely on beer, forming the Western Brewery. And his brewery was one of the first to produce German lager, which became very popular, especially in that area, as more German... combining words, my bad. As more German immigrants settled in the area. And so, as the brewery grew, Adam actually used a cave near the area as a natural refrigeration for the beers, and it sounds like several breweries in the area did this. That's where they would smart, store their really. Stuff. Right, yeah. Like, how interesting.
Natural resources, you know, take advantage of that. That's cool.
So, Adam had a son, William Lemp, who was also born in Germany in 1835. So this is where I'm like, okay, maybe he did abandon a wife there, because when I was watching Ghost Hunters, the woman who was showing them around and talking about how, like, she was talking about how Adam Lemp married into the family that originally owned the Lemp Mansion. So I think he probably had at least 2 wives. I don't know where this third one came in. Like I said, finding a decent source was kind of difficult for this.
Well, and especially with, like, super old, like, we're talking 1800s. It's not like that stuff is just easy to find, so.
Yep.
So, fair enough. That's good. Close.
Yeah. Listen, he had probably a couple wives. He had 1 kid. Maybe some other kids? I don't honestly know, because then one thing kind of made it sound like he had half. I don't know. I'm not going down that rabbit hole here.
Yeah, that's fine. Nope.
So, William graduated from St. Louis University, and then he worked for his dad for a time, but then he left and formed a partnership with another brewery. And I don't know if this is when he eventually becomes friends with the guy from Pabst Brewery, like the owner of that, the guy who started that. You know, he was in the army in 1861 and achieved the rank of orderly sergeant, which is better than disorderly. Ba-da-ba. Like a good dad
one.
Joke.
Good one,
I'm gonna
Cassie,
have more
I'm
on
proud.
This, I guarantee you.
Oh, good. I love it.
Okay. So he married Julia Fiekert on December 3rd of 1861. So then on August 23rd of 1862, Adam Lemp passed away, natural causes. He's older. And William took over the brewery. And so he actually built a larger brewery then over the caves where the beer was being stored. And he was actually one of the first or one of the few breweries to actually brew and bottle their beer in the same place.
Hmm.
I guess that wasn't very common then. And so that was in 1864. And then it became the largest brewery in St. Louis and the largest outside of New York with a single owner. So in 1878, he installed the first refrigeration machines in an American brewery. And then he extended this to refrigerating rail cars and became the first beer in the U.S. with a national reach. So this man
it's pretty big
really
deal.
Thinking ahead. And soon it was sold worldwide. So he was, like I said, and he brewed, bottled everything, and then he had plans. So this brewery kind of becomes like a family business. And then eventually we'll find out it kind of becomes a brewery.
Oh.
See what I did there?
Did you hear my drumming? It woke my dogs up, though, so that's fine. They're looking at me like, what the heck?
A lot of them go into the family booziness.
Okay.
And that can work in a couple ways. Okay, I'm sorry.
That's actually really funny. Because, I see where we're going with this now.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay, I'm sorry. All the dad jokes. I'll try to stop now.
No, there's no reason to stop. I enjoy them.
So, now, William had several children. Anna, William, a.k.a. Billy Jr., Lewis, Charles, Frederick, who William actually wanted to take over the brewery or brewery. But he unfortunately passed away at the age of 28 because of unknown heart problems. Like they didn't know he had these heart problems. And then he got an illness that exacerbated it. And he passed away. And we'll kind of come back to that. And then there was Hilda, who married William's good friend, Frederick Pabst's son, Gustav. I love that name. Like that's such a fun name to say. Gustav.
It's very German, isn't it?
Yeah.
It makes me think of Kristoff from Frozen, just saying.
I don't like that. No, now you
I know you
that
don't,
name for
but
me.
It just was the same kind of name, so now you might not like the other one. Okay.
And then there was Edwin, who was the youngest son, and then Elsa, who was the youngest child.
Another Frozen reference, just so you know.
You know, I went through this whole research not even, like, thinking that in any way, shape, or form.
Yeah, you know. That was my daughter's like prime time of, you know, movies coming out. So I know all the things about Frozen.
See, I was pregnant with my son when it came out. Went and saw it. So much hype. And then I was so mad. And then I came home and immediately watched Tangled because that's an infinitely better movie.
Love. Tangled's great. Actually, Frozen 2, I think, side note, it's way better than the first. It actually has like a plot more where you're like, oh, well, the first one makes sense now. I'm just going to throw that out there. It'll always hold a special part in my heart just because it was like the first movie my daughter was like obsessed with, you know.
And I get that. I totally get that. That's 101 Dalmatians for me with my son. Mm-hmm. The first one had way too many plot holes because Elsa was supposed to be evil because it's based off of the Snow Queen fairy tale where she
if you're going down that route, okay.
Listen, they started
we're
going to
have
way,
an episode on this. No, I'm kidding.
I know.
We're not.
I know.
We could do That'll movie be... reviews too.
Okay, I'm sorry. I could go off on that forever, so I'm going to stop now.
Yeah,
so
go back.
Anyways.
Sorry. That was my fault. Okay.
So those are all of his kids. So now when Frederick died in 1901, like I said, they didn't know he had had these heart conditions, and I think he had he got sick with something, and it complicated his heart condition, and he died. I think he was only in his 20s. So William Sr. became despondent and started to go out less and less. Then in January 1904, his good friend Frederick Pabst passed away. So on February 13th, 1904, William Sr. completed suicide by shooting himself. And this was in the mansion. And at some point, so I got kind of confused too, because the mansion at some point was turned into I don't know if completely, but it was part of the brewery business. And so it was turned into offices and then back into a house and offices. It was turned into a few things. So at this point, I think it was a house and he was in his room with that. So then Billy Jr. Took over the brewery in November of 1904. He married a woman named Lillian 5 years prior to this. And this is, again, where we get some mixed information. One thing I read, it said she divorced him and claimed that he had abandoned her and things like this. And another area said he divorced her. I don't know. Hmm. Either way, they got divorced. She got custody of their kid. There's also a rumor, which is another contradictory thing, that says that Billy had an affair and fathered a child on his mistress who was born with Down syndrome and that he was kept in the attic.
Aww.
And so the other variant of this is that Julia, who I don't remember whose wife that was because there were so many names at this point, had a child who was born with a deformity and kept in the attic for their safety. I think that was like Julia, I think, was maybe William Sr.'s wife. But so supposedly this child's name was Zeke and they were born with a deformity and they were kept in the attic for their own safety.
Hmm.
Either way, there's no record of this child, whether it's this child named Zeke or this illegitimate child. There's no child, but we'll get into later that there is one of the sightings that people claim is of what they call, and I hate this name, which I'm sure it started back before people being thoughtful, politically correct, but it's called the monkey-faced boy ghost.
Okay, right.
And I'm like, that, if a child's deformed, that's not, or,
yeah.
No.
That would never fly now.
No. So we're just going to, like, later when I talk about that a little bit, I'm not going to call him that again. Whether or not that spirit is there or not, well, you know, still. So that's one of those things that, another contradiction, like, there's no record of this child either way. So then in 1920, when Prohibition started, the business went down. Because, I mean, at this point, you know, it had been booming. It was, like, the biggest brewery. William Sr. had done a lot to make this a really booming business. And so then Prohibition comes in, and they have to go out of business. For those of you who somehow don't know, Prohibition in the United States was, no beer was allowed to be sold or drank or anything like that. It was illegal to have liquor or alcohol of any kind. Which, I'm like, who did that? And who? Okay, right. But whatever.
Who was, like, angry and hated their life enough to do that?
Yeah. Okay. And so apparently the workers found out by trying to come to work, and just the doors were locked. It's like, that's cool. Thanks, guys.
You're just, like, out of a job now.
Uh-huh. So the brewery was sold off to the International Shoe Company in December for, like, and I meant to look this up, it was like $588,000.
Oh, wow.
And I'm like, holy cow. I'm like, I don't even know. Right? No. And that was in, like, the 1920s?
Right. Like, that's a ton now, so I can't imagine how much that was.
Let's see. I'm going to Google it quick since I forgot to do it.
Yeah, I'm curious.
Dollars. 1920. Not $5. You know what? All right, fine.
It's a lot.
I don't know. It's going to be a lot. It's going to be a lot.
It's like a lot.
Because just $5. Just $5 in the 1920s is worth $72.28 today. So I'm going to say it was. I'm going to say it's probably in the couple millions at least. So it was sold off. And then in December of 1922. Billy also completed suicide in his office, which was in the brewery. So this was actually in the house. So this was in the Lemp Mansion, but this is when the Lemp Mansion had offices, or it was all offices. I'm not 100% sure. But he was actually not the second Lemp to commit suicide, but the third. Actually, his sister Elsa had supposedly completed suicide a couple years prior. And I will get into why I say supposedly. So, first a little about Elsa, because I think she sounds like a badass. She joined the suffrage movement in the 1910s and became the founder of the first suffragette. Okay, I can't talk.
That's a hard word. Words are hard today.
Yeah. society in St. Louis. And so that was, like, you know, standing up for women's rights, women's voting, that kind of stuff.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah. So she was also into spiritualism, which was all the rage then, you know? So she held a lot of like seances in her home and stuff.
Yeah.
And actually after her mom passed away, the house, you know, got split up between all, I think there was like seven kids, whoever was remainder. So she got quite a bit and she was single at that time. And so she was the wealthiest single woman in St. Louis at that point.
Wow.
Yeah. And her mom had actually put a stipulation in the will that when Elsa got married, she would then get another $100,000. Which, again, $100,000 in 1920s.
She'd 1910s? Probably just go marry anybody then, please.
Well, just... yeah, oh, okay. We're about to get into that. I feel like this is what this is. So she married Thomas Wright in 1910. Like I said, she was already one of the wealthiest before marrying him. But then her mom put that stipulation in. And so Thomas Wright was like, I don't know, he owned or was president of some metal company thing. I don't know. I didn't look up too much about him except for what he was involved with her. But their marriage was pretty rocky from the start. I guess the arguments and fights started really early on and they would become violent even. Elsa threw something at him one time. I can't remember what it was, like a lamp or a candlestick or something, but it hit him in the forehead and caused this huge gash.
Oh.
So also I probably should have mentioned a like trigger warning for abuse and stuff, domestic violence. It doesn't sound like he was ever violent with her, but he was cheating on her from the very beginning, like pretty much.
Stand up guy.
Uh-huh. Sounds like a toxic relationship. So Elsa caught him in bed with a servant one time and chased him down the street with an iron fire poker, which I'm like picturing.
Can you imagine man, like, watching out your window?
Yeah.
Like, okay, well, oh, rough day over
the rights
there.
The rights are at it again.
Yeah. Lock the doors.
He clearly didn't do something right.
Yeah.
Okay.
I did. Okay. Wow. There we go.
This will be the dad joke episode.
Yeah, right. Featuring all the dad jokes. Find all the dad jokes and you...
You know.
You can make it a drinking game. Every time you make a dad joke, take a drink.
Yeah, no. Take a drink of water. You need more water,
water
people.
Water, I need. Yes, water. Hydrate. Yes.
Hydrate, especially in the summertime. Yeah. So then another time she caught him with another woman. She got in her car and rammed it repeatedly into his, which they told the model it was something weird. I'm sure it was expensive and it was his prized possession. So she like was like, cool, I'm gonna beat the shit out of your car with my car.
Yeah.
Clearly these are people who have money because she doesn't care about destroying their property. Like servants would say they'd like when they came into work, there'd be shattered dishes and glassware and like broken things all over the house because of how their arguments got and stuff. So,
anger management.
Yeah. You know, it sounds like maybe they shouldn't have been together. They did have a little girl together, but unfortunately she was stillborn and did blame Thomas for this. And they were separated in 1918 and divorced by 1919. And for a year after this, Elsa just traveled around visiting friends and family. Her and Thomas, though, they ended up reconnecting and getting married again in March of 1920. And it would just be shortly after this. Like, one thing said a few days after this. Another thing said, like, 12 days after. Either way, it wasn't long after Elsa was dead. So she suffered from frequent bouts of indigestion and nausea, and this would cause bouts of severe depression as well. But people said that despite this, they never thought her to be suicidal, which I get. Sometimes you just don't know. But the only accounts of her last few days are from her husband, Thomas. They were living in their own home, so this one didn't take place in the Lemp mansion, but it's still within the Lemp family. She was experiencing one of her bouts, and so she told Thomas that she was going to spend the day in bed, and he agreed that was for the best, and then went to go take a shower. He said when he was in there, he heard a loud crack and went to look. There he found Elsa with a gunshot and a lot of blood around her, and, the gunshot wound was to her heart, which, I don't know, I suppose you could do that with a gun. I mean, I don't think it was like a shotgun by any means, but... Yeah.
That still surprises me. I feel like people that really... I don't know, but I feel like most people, it's probably more common to do, like, shoot yourself in the head, mouth,
well,
whatever, but maybe not.
It, although, and this kind of goes into, which is a whole other topic, but you know, I can't think of what it's called, but there's that whole brain condition that they say happens to football players and other people who get hit repeatedly on the head. There's this new brain condition that they're saying can change the whole personalities. And there was some sort of athlete who committed suicide by stabbing himself in the heart. Because he wanted his brain to go to science to study this.
I get. I mean, I don't get it, but like, you know what I mean. It's not like,
right.
Okay,
I would think there'd be other ways. Right. So maybe if she was going to commit complete suicide and she didn't want to ruin her face, like maybe it was like kind of a type thing too. I don't know. But anyways, so there was a gun beside her on the bed. And so this is where I start to think, and I know others are kind of like, did she really complete suicide or was this foul play? Because Thomas called a doctor, which, okay, that's normal. But then he calls his lawyer. And maybe a friend too, I think. But never once did he call the police.
That's interesting, though. Why would you not call the police? That's always what makes them suspect you. Like, that's, hello. Right.
Well, and the husband always did it. And also, she had a lot of money. Like, I think he had money, right. But she probably had more money than him, I feel like.
The odds are kind of stacked against him then now. He's not helping himself out.
No. So, the police only found out on accident. Elsa's brother, Edwin, had been called and told that, you know, I don't know if he'd been told exactly that she shot herself, but he had been told that she was injured and he needed to come to the house. So he was rushing to her house after having gotten this call. And on the way, he hit a pedestrian who had stepped down off of the curb.
Yikes.
Fortunately, the pedestrian was fine.
Okay.
But police and the ambulance were there. She was taken to the hospital, but she was fine. But this is where the police find out Elsa has been shot or shot herself. So they go to the Wright home and they question Thomas for a couple hours, and he became really agitated and he stated that, you know, he was, you know, just flustered and wasn't sure what to do. You know, he was not in a good place, and that he says he didn't call the police because he just didn't think about it, which is weird because you thought about calling your lawyer. And why wasn't your lawyer like, hey, we should call the police? Yeah.
Wouldn't you call the police first, like, then call your lawyer?
Right. Like, I could see calling the doctor first because it sounds like she was still alive for a moment. Like, one of the, he called for, like, a servant and she came in. And it seemed like Elsa was trying to say something, but then she passed. So... Mm-hmm. I get that, but yeah. So ultimately, like, he wasn't even taken to the police station, but ultimately the police went with the suicide story. And so, like I said, I think it sounds like there are people who think he killed her, but we're never gonna really know. I don't... Well, and that's just it. Yeah, and I don't know. At the very least, I think it's really suspicious because, I don't know, like, even if you're suicidal, like, would you have really killed yourself right after getting married? And let's face it, money is always like the number one motivation for spousal homicide. It's either money or because they're cheating, and instead of getting a divorce, they're like, well, divorce would be too much work, so let's just go ahead and murder them. And
you know, especially back in the day, like, there was nothing really to hold them accountable and as far as the justice system and investigating things.
And, you know, let's face it, it's the 1920s. He's a man, he's rich. They're going to be like, fine, you know what, whatever.
Yep.
So there's one more suicide that is completed in the Lemp Mansion.
Wow.
So after Billy passed, Charles, who had gone into banking instead of the family business.
Okay.
I know I said I was done, but I'm clearly not. So he moved into the home. And by all accounts, as he became older, he became a bit eccentric. It sounds like he started to become a bit of a recluse. Until one day in 1945, when, and I'm going to give trigger warning for a brief mention of animal abuse.
I can't.
Just so everyone's aware. I know. It's super quick, I promise.
I'm out.
And not graphic.
I'm just kidding. It's okay. It's okay. I can handle it. I'm petting my dog right now, so I'll just Well, find comfort in that.
Yeah, he shot his dog downstairs, then went upstairs to his bedroom and shot himself. Which I believe
why
is this
dog. Why bring the dog down?
So I don't. So like, I think the room he completed suicide was the same room his dad had. Okay. And his dog, like, we'll get into later about how like his dog apparently is still in the mansion and him. And I don't know if it's like one of those things where in his head where he was like, you know how those people, those familial suicide, I'm thinking of all the horrible things, but like where they're like, oh, we have no money. I've bankrupted us, so I'm going to murder everyone and then myself. Because for some reason, they're like, they clearly can't live without me.
Right.
I don't know if it was maybe a situation like that. Like, he didn't have, like, he had his dog. And so he was like, I'm not going to leave my dog all alone.
Right. Well, yeah. And you think, like, okay, how long would it be before anyone found him? And would the dog starve to death? And
I mean, let's face it,
that's just
not. I mean, yeah. Eventually it would be that. But so.
But still.
Yeah. And then eventually the house gets turned into a boarding house, which is a house where it is essentially like an apartment, like except it's just the rooms get rented out.
Okay.
But eventually it was hard to find tenants because people started, this is where like the haunting stuff starts to happen. Like people start to hear knocking, ghostly footsteps, you know, sounds that have no reason or explanation. And it just gets to the point where no one wants to rent or live in this place.
No
way. The house, I think it was abandoned for a time and became kind of run down until 1973 when Dick Poynter bought it and started to restore it. And this is when it got turned into an inn and a restaurant. So it's still open. I think we should go visit it at some point. Because you can stay there.
Yeah, it's not that far from here. That's not that far.
No. And you can stay there and do, like, you can stay the night, or you can just go and do ghost tours, like, all sorts of things.
We definitely, once we start, we can save some money up. We're going to have to go do that. That would be really fun, actually.
Yes, it would. So now, in the episode of Ghost Hunters, they actually interview Dick, and the woman in charge of the history and the tour of the houses, which I forgot to write down her name. I meant to, and I forgot to, but if you watch the episode, that you know, they mention it. But so Dick mentioned that while he was restoring the house, and it kind of seemed like as they were viewing the house and stuff, and I guess I don't know when this episode aired, it seemed like there were some unfinished places still even in there, which I'm sure it's not cheap to restore that place. Because it's over 100 some years old.
Oh, yeah.
But so while Dick was restoring the house, he was living in it. And he was staying in what's now called the Charles room. But I don't think that was actually Charles's bedroom. I think they just named some of the bedrooms after the family members. Because there's another bedroom called like the Frederick room. And maybe there was an Elsa room. I don't know. But there's definitely, there's rooms named after some of the family members. So he's sleeping in this room. And he's awoken to what sounds like a hard kick to his bedroom door. So he thought someone had broken in. So he's searching the whole place, trying to see where they came in, what might be happening. And he doesn't find anything. Everything's still locked up tight. No signs of forced entry or anyone else being in the house.
Weird.
And so they kind of talk about like all the different, because you know, Ghost Hunters, what they do is in the beginning, for those of you who haven't watched it, they interview the homeowner or whoever the caretaker is, and they take them around the house, telling them where the most active places are, what's been known to happen, because then this way, TAPS, which is their company name, you know, know where to set up and know what to look for. And the reason why I really like TAPS is because they actually try to find legitimate reasons for these things first before just being like, oh, nope, it's totally haunted. So I like that because I'm this weird contradiction of like, I believe in ghosts, but I'm a big skeptic too. And I think it's the fact of like, it's not that I'm skeptical about the paranormal and the, you know, anything like that. It's I'm skeptical of people. I don't trust people.
Oh, yeah. And theatrical things, like when you're watching documentaries, it's like, oh, okay, that would have been a very easy thing to add in on a computer. So,
yes. Yeah. Or even like those like caught on tape. And I'm like, okay, this is cool, but like, especially with the technology we have today, it's not hard. And So, you know, I get
I
it. Like,
agree.
I'm sure when I talk about I've had my own experiences, some people are like, okay, did you though? And that's fine. You can
Right.
doubt me because I get it. Like, I doubt people
Unless you're like,
too.
yeah, in that situation, or you have your EMF
Yes.
thing, and unless you've watched
Right.
Ghostbusters and know the signs, just kidding.
I mean,
Kind of.
it's just one of those things. So, as they're going through, you know, they find out where some of these places are. There's another story of an employee getting locked in this what used to be an old wine cellar in the basement for like 2.5 hours. And so they say like doors open and close on their own, they lock and unlock on their own, and things like that. And then you know, the other thing was the fact that like they'll say, so where the old wine cellar is, it sounds like the kitchen's in the basement too. Since there's a restaurant there, and staff will feel like they're being watched from that room, which I'm like, why aren't you just keeping that door closed? That sounds really creepy.
Right.
And putting a
Just
curtain
block
over
that
the little
off.
window. Yeah.
Right.
And you know, glasses go flying from the bar, which the where the bar is, it sounds like was where Charles's bedroom was.
Okay.
So when he completed suicide, it sounds like that's now the bar where people go. And there's another room called the atrium, which is where they have like tables and stuff for people to sit. And a couple was trying to sit at a table in the atrium and claimed one of the chairs was impossible to pull out. And then there have been reports of chairs going flying in that room. There's also reports of ghostly animals in the atrium.
That would be okay. I wouldn't hate
Yeah,
that. I've seen a
right. One
ghost
staff.
dog.
Right. Well, what? So this isn't even a dog. This is a cat. I don't know where this cat's
No.
coming from, but one
I
staff
mean,
member reported
it's
being
fine.
in the room and feeling as if a cat walked between her legs and rubbed itself against her. So, you know, like when a cat walks by
Yep.
you and they do that whole rubby thing, like she felt that, but there was no cat. Which I'm like, where did this cat come from? But I mean, maybe it's just a stray.
It's a
I
mansion.
don't
I
know.
feel like, yeah, there could be a lot
You
of
know?
cats weasel their way in places.
Yeah. And then one of the other things is that guests and staff alike have reported seeing a dark, shadowy man on the third floor who is often accompanied by a horrible stench that will drive them away from the room. And the
Ooh.
third floor is also where there are the reports of seeing or hearing a child play or seeing them look out the window. And that again is the legend, like that's based on the legend of the little boy we talked about who was either an illegitimate child or a child who was just kept hidden for their own safety. Who knows?
Did he die up there, or like, do we ever know what happened? We just never
No,
find out.
it's all legend and hearsay. And like
Okay.
one thing said that like while there was no record of him, staff claimed that he lived up there. So I'm assuming. And then some say that he was buried on the property, that he did die there, but he was buried on the property just under the headstone lamp. Who knows? But there's no record whatsoever. So this kind of sounds like maybe it's one of those local legends.
Who knows? Well, if they,
Who
yeah, like
knows?
back then it was easier to hide humans as far as like
This is true.
existing. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, most of your births were at-home births, and if you have
Yeah.
enough money, you
Oh,
can
yeah.
keep, you know,
And the space to hide someone without, yeah.
Yeah. So they also say that Charles is the most active spirit, and oftentimes he's seen with his dog, which I think just goes to show that we don't deserve dogs because they're loving and loyal.
Amen.
Like, he's staying with his owner even in the afterlife, even though this is the
Yeah.
jerk who killed him.
Right.
Like,
Oh, dogs,
talk
we
about
really don't.
loyalty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They still love you even through everything, even
Yeah.
when you kill them, apparently.
Apparently, I will say
Gosh.
my senior year we had a collie and we had to put him down and he was 14, 15,
That's
so
wow,
he
that's pretty old.
especially for a collie, he looked like Lassie but he was black, you know. And
Yeah.
I remember I took his death very hard. He slept
Yeah.
with me every night, literally in bed on my pillow beside me. The dog had more room on the bed than I did. But I
Yep, that's
remember
how it
feel
goes.
like Yep, like feeling him like lay in bed with me after he passed, you know, at one point. And
Yeah.
I had dreams where I swear it was him coming to me in my dream just to comfort me, you know, because I've had that with my grandpa too. A whole other story with my experiences. Like one day there'll be an episode just about all my crazy experiences. But
Yeah.
so yeah, so that's that's where we're at there with that. So, you know, Ghost Hunters comes in, they set up their stuff, and they also will, like, break up into groups, mm-hmm. you know, of groups of two, and then they, like, explore different parts of the houses at different times. And so first we have Jason, who also is called Jay, like, go back and forth, and Grant, who are the founders mm-hmm. of TAPS. And they go to the very top floor. And this is where the shadowy man is, you know, said to be seen, and the child. And so while in one of the rooms, which I think was the Frederick room, Jason mentions that a corner seems to, like, get darker and then, like, lighter, like, not mm-hmm. because they shut off all the lights, as they do in every, like, haunting investigation.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
So he's like, in this bare corner, like, it seemed to get really dark. He can't see even the, like, the outline of the wall, and then he can. So Grant mm-hmm. goes and sets a chair there, and he sets something that I think they call the K2 monitor. And so it has a bunch of lights, like, on the top, and, like, mm-hmm. the base light is green, so that just means it's on. And if anything approaches or whatever, other lights flash up. So okay. they set it there, and some of the lights start to light up. And so they tell the spirit that if they light, you know, if they ask him questions and they light up the other lights, that means yes. And if it goes down to just the base light, then they know the spirit isn't there, or that it's no.
Okay.
So it drops down to the one light, and they ask the spirit if it's there, and it, like, lights up, like, it all the way up. So they ask it to light up more. It lights up even more. And as they're doing this, Jason mentions seeing what looked like a man peeking in the doorway, like a dark man peeking in the doorway. So they go out there mm-hmm. to see if there's anyone there. They can't find anyone. And so they ask, you know, was that you? And the K2 monitor, which is at just the base light, lights up. And they try to ask more questions. They ask it to make this smell, if that's it, you know, if that's the man that makes that smell. But it just abruptly stops, and they're not getting any more activity. So they start to search other rooms mm-hmm. and so this is one of the things that I found to be really interesting in this episode. Grant is sitting in this room where people report could you hear Finley?
Just a little bit.
That'll just be in our background. All right. So people report, they, like, there's a couch, you know, a little sofa in this room, and people report what looks like a dog laying down on the sofa. Mm-hmm. So Grant's chilling,
like,
in there, and
pushed down, like, imprint yeah. of it, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
So Jason's like, you know what, this room doesn't, I'm not getting anything from this room, I'm gonna go to another one, why don't you stay here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So Grant then sits on the couch, he's, like, whistling for the dog, asking Charles questions, like, were you sick? Is that why you took your own life? Did you take matters into your own hand? Did you want your dog with you? Did you want to make sure your dog wasn't left alone, you know? And mm-hmm. he says all of a sudden he hears whispered pretty loudly and clearly in his word, the word Atlantis, like, right into his ear. And he was like, I have no idea what this means. Like,
well, and that's, you know, a very, like, specific word. That,
right.
Yeah. So it's not like he's just going to make that up.
Yeah. So he's like, so they have audio recordings set up too. So he's, like, hopeful mm-hmm. that it'll get recorded on there. But so he goes to tell Jason, he tells Jason about this, and Jason's laying on the bed of this other room. And Jason kind of looks at him, and you kind of think that he doesn't believe him. He's like, seriously? Like, are you mm-hmm. being for real right now? And he's like, yeah. He's like, we'll go back and see if anything else happens. So what he doesn't tell Grant is that he had actually been talking to any spirit that was around and said, if you're here, can you go whisper a word in Grant's ear? And that word was Atlantis. And he plays the recording of him asking that, because, you know, he has an audio recorder with him.
Uh-huh.
So when Grant goes back, he's like, okay, you know what? We're going to try this again. So he walks further away in the room to make sure Grant can't hear him for sure. And he whispers in this audio recording. He's like, okay, the word now is comet. And he spells it out, C-O-M-E-T. Well, like, 5 minutes or more goes by, and he's starting to think, okay, it's not going to happen. And he's starting to walk to go tell Grant about the first thing. When Grant comes in, he's like, it happened again. He was like, I don't know exactly. It was either comic or karma. Which, those are super close.
Yeah.
So okay. This is where Jason tells Grant, like, what he had done. And I just think that's so crazy. But they couldn't get any more activity from this spirit there. You know, it was just, I thought that was so interesting. Hi. Hold on. Okay, so sorry, okay, guys, so... if there was a slight jump there. Had a small human interruption that we had. I'm gonna have to try to cut out. So yeah, so they didn't get any more interaction from the spirit. You know, they were trying to ask these questions, so it's kind of interesting, like, why it would go take these words to Grant, but it wouldn't answer any other questions or anything like that. And unfortunately, like, when they were going back through later over everything, you know, because then they do the review part where they go over all their audio, all of their video they've taken over the night to see what they can find, they could not pick up audio from this, which stinks. I was really hoping they would. And then, yeah, so that was just, I mean, I don't know. It was so interesting. And to me, that was like one of the most interesting things that I felt was found in the house. But there were still a few other things that happened. So Jason and Grant did go back to the first room they were in. And after this, they noticed this horrible stench. Grant described it as a really bad BO and decay. And so he made Jason come. So he made Jason come and smell it. And Grant had to leave the room because he almost threw up. He said it was the worst thing he'd ever smelled. And they're plumbers. This is how these two men started. So they were like Roto-Rooter plumbers. So he's I've smelled some disgusting things. Ugh. So when I tell you this was disgusting, he's like, it was horrible. And like, he was going to throw up. He was like, I went to the bathroom because I thought I was going to throw up. He's like, luckily I found an air freshener there and I was just like sniffing it. So they go back to try to see, because they're like, okay, if there's a dead animal somewhere causing the stench. Right. But the problem is, like, when they go back, there's literally no hint of this smell anymore. It's like it was never there. And the thing is like, if there was an animal somewhere or if there was something else that was causing this smell, it wouldn't just come and go with no lingering hint. It would linger.
It would be it there would for good. Stay. Oh, yeah. If it was that strong. Right. And potent.
So, like,
yes.
So it seems like a defense mechanism type thing. Yeah. Like the spirit is trying to get people out of their space.
Yeah, like a skunk type thing, you know, like go away.
Yes, like I don't want you in this area. Go away, you know. So that was interesting. Some of the other investigators, they hear shadows and hear creaks. Two of the other men, they catch what sounds like a groan from Billy's office, which is where he completed suicide. I forgot to mention. So in this office where Billy completed suicide, a lot of people will say they feel a sense of dread and uneasiness in that room.
Mm-hmm.
So they do an EMF reading, which is an electromagnetic field, and they get high readings. And now sometimes it's like if you get a low reading, then all of a sudden it spikes out of nowhere. That can be a sign of a spirit. But this was high readings all over, which can also happen when you have old wiring, exposed wiring. There are different reasons. And it's been scientifically proven that people can be sensitive to those EMFs. And it will cause physical reactions, like your arm on your hair standing up, a feeling of dread, anxiety, things like that. So this instance, that uneasy feeling people get in this room is explained. It's because with the way the wiring is, this is an old house. In this room, at least, there's a very high EMF reading just naturally.
Okay.
But they couldn't figure out the groan. They tried to recreate it with creaks and stuff like that, and they couldn't figure that out. One of the other things was that when they were down in the basement and they were kind of, they weren't in that old cellar, but they were in front of it. They were trying to talk and they asked the spirit to knock if it was around. And from that cellar, you hear a faint knock.
Oh.
So then they were like, well, did you knock again? If the answer is yes, did you lock an employee in here for like 2.5 hours? And there's no noise. Like, well, did the employee make that up? And then it knocked. And so it's like, okay, are you calling out the employee? Were they just down there like, I don't want to work? Or like, you know.
For sure.
Blaming it on them. They asked it some other stuff, and I think it knocked a few other times. But yeah, so that was like the main things that Taps caught while they were there doing ghost hunters and stuff. And like, I kind of Googled to look up people's personal experiences. I was trying to find like ghostly images for the social postings that I'll do, but everything was just orbs and stuff, which I like orbs. I believe in orbs, but sometimes I'm like, it's an old place. Is that just dust?
I know. Yeah.
I didn't find any picture where I was like, oh my goodness, this is crazy. I've got to show this one. So I'm just going to post a picture of like the main family members I talked about who completed suicide or died there, you know, and a picture of the mansion itself.
Okay.
But it was interesting. It's interesting to kind of go in and see other people's testimonies and stuff too. Some of them, the way people wrote about their experiences there, it was like they were staying the night there and they were left all alone in this house, like after everything closed, like there was no one left there.
Oh.
Except the people staying, which seems weird to me. Like, wouldn't you have like one staff member on hand in case they needed something?
Yeah.
Or
no matter. Yeah. To just watch your stuff.
Yeah. I guess I don't know fully how the house is set up. If like the restaurant area and bar is kind of locked off and kept away. I don't know. It just seems to me like, wouldn't you be worried about them getting into your liquor or something?
Yeah. That's a little too trusting.
Right. So I have no idea what exactly that's like when you go there and stuff, but I do know you can take tours, you can stay there, you can eat there.
There's
a lot of different things you can do there, so I thought that was pretty interesting.
Do they think that these ghosts or spirits are like angry? I mean,
the only one that I heard anything negative about was that shadowy man who causes a stench.
Okay.
It doesn't sound like anyone's had a great experience with him, but I never heard anything blatantly malicious. Like, I never heard anything like the last one the last haunting I did, you know, where we had like violent like scratches and stuff. Like, I haven't heard anything like that. So if anything, it sounds like maybe family members who haven't moved on. I don't know who the shadowy figure would be.
Right.
Like, is that William Sr. who can't, you know, right. He was despondent about losing his son and his friend and then completed suicide. Like,
right.
I don't know. They didn't give too much. I was hoping to find more about it. Like, when I was Googling this, one of the things I almost, when I was first looking this and I was trying to find documentaries, one thing that came up was there was supposed to be some documentary about Elsa Lemp and whether or not, like, it was suicide or murder,
right.
But it looks like that, like, they had postings about this coming out and then it never did. So I'm like, it was gonna be a local, I don't know. And so I was like trying to find a bunch of things. There's so much, I don't know, info out there.
Right.
And again, you know, I maybe could have found something a little bit more if I had dived a little deeper, tried to read some books, but it was kind of at that point too, where it's again, it was Memorial Week. I was trying to do the best I could. And with this, I mean, because it is older stuff, but I still find it very interesting. I think for sure with as old as that house is, and all the stuff it's seen, there's no way it's not haunted, you know?
Right. I know. That is crazy. And sometimes I feel like when, I don't know this, but like when you're seeking it out and looking for that stuff is when you can't find it as much. Like, it just happens when you're not expecting it. And so that's what's hard, because like they don't want to be known, you know, they do, but they don't, like,
I know,
they're just standing there laughing. I feel like when people are in there trying to like find them and communicate.
Well, and then I also feel like I got kind of spoiled because early on I had that mansion in Michigan. Is it Michigan? Merrill, Michigan. And I had those two great documentaries where it was like they actually showed so much and they caught so much on camera. So I was kind of hoping for that with Taps. And I was like, dang. I was like, I get it. Not everyone is going to be like that. But
right. But just the fact that there's like some sort of activity and whatnot makes you wonder.
Yeah. There was another documentary I was going to rent on Amazon. I can't even think of what it's called now. But it was like some investigative team apparently went into, but it sounds like they're more of an amateur type. Mm-hmm. And reading the reviews, I was like, okay, I'm not going to waste my $4 on this to rent it, because people were like, this was so poorly done. They're like, it could have been better, but they needed to do like, So I was like, all right, I'm not going to waste my time on this. And then I found the Ghost Hunter episode. It sounded
more.
Yeah. I love Ghost Hunters. Anyway. It sounded too like maybe Ghost Adventures.
Oh, right. Did I forgot an episode. About that one.
Yeah. I don't know for sure. Ghost Hunters is what I saw the most. but it was, I don't know. I saw something where it was mentioned. Let me see real quick. Ghost Hunters. It looks like Ghost Adventures also did The Lemp Mansion, which maybe I should have watched that one too, but I'm not going to lie. They kind of annoy me.
Yeah. And I mean, it's probably like, I doubt they found anything significantly different.
Yeah.
From the first one, you know?
Yeah, because Ghost Hunters was first. Because they Ghost Hunters, I feel like, was like one of the first like paranormal investigators TV show coming in. Because they came after Ghost Hunters. I remember that. Yeah. And I think that was maybe part of my initial annoyance with them is like, psh, you posers. But also, I remember trying to watch an episode and the main guy was just like, like freaking out instantly. And
so
at least, like,
dramatic.
Yeah, it was too dramatic for me. Maybe he wasn't always like that. Maybe it just happened to be the episode I caught. I wasn't fond of it. I like how Ghost Hunters tries to find explanations. And they, I mean, they've had times where they freak out too because you're human, but not to that extent. And they try to stay calm and, you know.
Yeah.
So
sometimes
I
think
know,
some of that's, yeah, for ratings, you know.
Yes.
But.
Yes. And now that I know Discovery Plus has all of Ghost Hunters, I'm super excited because, you know, I watched it regularly for a long time on the Sci-Fi channel, and then I didn't have cable. And then it was like, I think Jason and Grant, like, there was some tension or something. I think Jason left or Grant left. One of them left for a while, and then they went international for a bit. And so some of the team members didn't go there. But now I was kind of looking, it looks like the original, like the main team is back, or Jason and Grant are back together.
I haven't watched that in so long, but now that I know it's on ID, I'm going to have to, or Discovery, whatever. But yeah.
So cool. That is the Lemp family and the Lemp mansion and the family boozeness and brewery.
The boozeness. Yeah. That's crazy. And it's always weird when there's that many deaths in the same family and house, I suppose, which minus the
one, granted, every family is going to eventually have deaths, but they were all, you know,
suicide.
So many completing suicide, which, I mean, depression, I think they've discovered, can be hereditary. I mean, it's like a genetic, can be a genetic thing and stuff. So, I mean, maybe, I don't know. It's just a lot in there. And
there wasn't a lot of, like, resources back then for those things.
Oh, yeah.
So,
listen, there's not a lot of resources now. I highly doubt in the 1800s and 1900s there was any resources. So get over it. Buck up.
No. Yeah. Or, there you go.
Take some coke.
Yeah. Was that even a thing then? I don't know.
At some point it was.
Yeah, that's true. And maybe it was just a different, they probably called it something else.
I think they called it something else, but.
Well, and they also had the brewery, I guess. So, you know, booze yourself, drink yourself to death. But
right.
Okay, so, to each their own.
Yeah.
Well, that was a fun one. Thanks for sharing. Thanks. I love a good ghost story.
Lighter than we've been doing. I mean, not light in the fact of there was a lot of suicide.
Right.
But, you know.
Mixing it up
a bit, trying to go that haunting route. And let's face it, if you have a haunting, there was obviously some sort of death.
Oh, yeah.
And I just feel like we're getting deep and heavy. And I know the next one I do is probably going to be fairly heavy. So I like to try to mix it every now and then, you know.
Yeah, I know. That's kind of my next one. I'm trying to find something that's not like all the other ones we've done or, you know, but it's.
Yeah.
And there's plenty out there, but it's just the matter of finding the one that's the best to share. Well, like, because this one I knew nothing about. So I'm glad that you shared that.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, I really want to check this place out now.
Yeah,
like,
if anyone's been or knows anything,
has been there, please. Yes, we want to hear stories. And that's just it, you guys. Yet again, please share your stories. Share your comments, your feedback. If you just want to say hi, reach out to us.
Yeah.
Post somewhere, DM us, email us at heartland.darklandpodcast@gmail.com. Like, we want to hear from you guys, even if you don't have suggestions. It doesn't even have to be in the heartland at this point. If you have your own paranormal experience or weird story or, you know, just something interesting, like, we want to hear from you guys. And don't forget to just send us a message on any of those places if you rate and review us, so you can get entered into that drawing.
Yeah, and thanks for those that have already done that. We've received a bunch of those, so that's awesome. We appreciate those.
Yes.
Make sure you have notifications on your podcast, wherever you listen to it, since we're behind today. That way you'll always be notified when it's available.
Exactly.
So,
for now, stay Heartland kind.
But Darkland wary.